Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fly ball well hit to right field. He's done it again. Acuna on the first pitch. Hits it into the Atlanta bullpen. Unbelievable.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up. Get
on Sports up. Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com.
Good morning.
Premature good morning.
You jumped the gun there. Go ahead. Finish up.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Thank you. Take two. How you doing?
Doing good.
I was looking forward to coming in here and dodging some guys riding scooters at 4 in the morning like we normally do, but thank you, Mayor Keisha. Not no more. We don't get to play bumper cars with the guys on the scooters that are drunk and taking over the road. They got to get out the way.
Yeah. How about that?
You don't know what we're talking about there.
Now,
is it official or is this like something?
They're saying it's a temporary ban, but I think it may end up lasting. But what, 9 o'clock at night, they shut them down. You can't crank them up. And so, you know, if you're going to be riding in the street in the nighttime and everybody's not going to put on something that people can see, you know, something that's colorful, but people wearing something
plus
dark.
Everybody on them things after you know, midnight act like Atlanta's the Autobahn when they get on them things. And they're just whipping around and all that sort of stuff. So
I follow some of the reaction on Twitter to it, and some people who are sensible on them are obviously
and
upset.
And use them to go to work, things
yeah,
like
some,
that.
Those people are obviously upset about it and with reason.
There's always a few.
Yeah.
There's always a few.
But you spoil it. Going to spoil the party for everybody.
Well, so. as we came in here this morning getting ready to talk about Braves and preseason football and all that sort of stuff, I just noticed that there weren't many scooters.
No.
Not many scooters.
They're kind of just standing still and waiting until they can flip the switch and they can get on them and ride them during the safer hours.
Now, let's start off the show by telling you something that we're going to weave throughout the show and want to get your thoughts on. All right? By the way, the number's 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Or give us a shot on that number. One is that we both had, and Ken too, I should say, a reaction to what Nick Saban did this past week. And he's done this every year, but this year it was one of those that kind of like, ooh, I like to have been there for that. He brought Mike Tyson in to talk to the team. Does this every year, bring somebody in who's been through some stuff. Inspirational, as an inspirational story. And speaks to the team. A few days ago, he brought Mike Tyson in. And colorful ain't the word that the players use to describe listening to Mike Tyson.
I'm sure.
So,
but I'm sure they were hanging on every word,
exactly,
though.
Exactly. So got us thinking about, and we're using University of Georgia, because they, of the teams locally here, have come closest to tasting that national championship a couple times. So if you needed somebody, Kirby Smart, I'm sure, thinks about this. I don't know if they do this as regularly or at the same level that Nick Saban does, but who would you want to see come in and talk to Georgia?
Yeah, I would say there might be some of that because of where Kirby Smart was before he came to Georgia.
Exactly.
So I'm sure
be a copycat.
I'm sure there is some. He copies everything else he does.
Well, he ain't copied that. He ain't got copied that trophy yet.
But that's the thing. But
that's one thing.
But he everything else he does, he's mimicked them right down to the letter. So
who would you want to see? So we'll just start off with Ken's, and then we'll tell you ours as we get through the show.
Is there a prerequisite for this person?
You have to have gone through some. You have to have gone through some trials and tribulations and come out the other end. Positively, let's put it that way. Is that about the best way? Well, how would you describe what Mike Tyson has gone through?
Okay, does it have to be an athlete or entertainer? Can it be someone else?
Well, that's who he's used, very visible people.
Okay, very visible people.
Yeah, so Mike Tyson being one, and, you know, listen, I would not be surprised at some point down the road, because everything's, you know, the dust eventually settles on all things. I remember when Richard Nixon, when I was a kid, they were talking about using him as baseball commissioner.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, everything sort of dissipates. At some point, somebody's going to call OJ to come in and talk.
No.
No. Do not. I would not be surprised. I didn't say next week. No. I'm just saying, I would not be surprised if somebody has OJ come in?
I really doubt that.
All right, well, we'll see.
I don't see that.
So anyway, the point is, who would you have come in and speak to the University of Georgia? And Ken said, and he said this would never happen. He came up with two. One, obviously, for being in the news, Brian Banks.
Okay.
All right, and that whole story.
And he's doing a bit of that now anyway. Exactly. He's doing some inspirational speaking. That's what motivational speaking.
But the other person he mentioned, which would be a good one, but he said it would never happen, is Tim Tebow.
Why would it never happen?
Well, one SEC star is not going to go talk to another team. He ain't coming to Georgia.
Why not?
Because he went to Florida. That's why.
I mean, it's as simple as that. The thing about it, if Georgia would invite him.
Well, again, I don't know. And I'm just saying, I agree with
Things
Ken.
Things cross conference lines. We talk about Coach Dooley now being honored, and he's an Auburn guy.
Yeah, but that was years ago. People forget about that.
We talk about Pat Dye, who went to Georgia coaching one of Auburn's most beloved coaches. So folks do cross those
20
lines.
20 years from now, he may get a call. You know, but he ain't getting a call right now. He ain't getting a call this soon. And I agree with Ken. So that's a name. But his message and the messenger is the type of person that you'd want.
Obviously.
So.
Absolutely.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I'll ask you this off the top. Oh, the other question is, which I'll save, something that we will weave throughout the show. Are we looking at a possible 40-40 man here playing right field for these Braves?
Maybe. Maybe.
He got about 12 stolen bases to go. Maybe closer to 15. I think he's at 27, 28, something like that, or 30. Anyway.
He's already got a chance.
He'll
be the first 30-30 guy since Ron Gant.
Right.
It's kind of telling something. It's been that long since the Braves have had something.
I was about to say, when you said that out loud, I had forgotten about that.
He's the last guy to be 30-30 for the Braves.
Yeah, 26 stolen bases.
Yeah.
You think he can get it? If he wants it.
Oh, yeah. He'll get that. Like I said, though, to think how long it's been since the Braves had a player with those kind of capabilities and put it all together for one season. It's been a minute, you know? And so we're curious to see.
Ron got his first set of cheaters this week, or last week. I saw him over at Fox. He was wearing cheaters for the first time.
Really?
He had to go. He had to break down, and he wasn't happy about it. He had to get some cheaters over there. I say, using read the teleprompter? He goes, no, I'm just looking at my stuff ahead of time. Yeah. He says, I don't think he's worn them on set yet.
No.
Here's the thing. He wins 40-40. He's still not MVP. I don't believe he is. And people have been talking. That's what got me thinking about it this week, because there were people actually talking about that. Were he to win it?
Yeah.
He still probably wouldn't be league MVP, or at least at this point. Something crazy would have to happen. He'd have to have one of those Chipper Jones, like 2,000 runs that Chipper had in late August and September. And he basically put the team on his back in one of those. Was it 99 or 2,000? I think it was 99.
Okay.
But he put them on their back and used the Mets.
Yep.
He used the Mets like Nolan Ryan used Robin Ventura.
Yep.
So that was a unique situation. I don't know if he gets it. The only person that's ever won 40-40, of the guy, can you name the guys who actually won it? Okay, you know the first person. Canseco,
that's what I was thinking. That's the only one I can think of.
Okay. Now, Barry did it.
Okay.
A-Rod did it.
Wow.
Alfonso Soriano did it.
Okay.
Only one of those guys won MVP. Ooh, tick-tock. Does the control of the board stay with Mr. Critchley?
No, I don't know. Who's that?
It was the first one.
Oh, Canseco.
Canseco. And he won it on a team that was amazing. That 88 team was supposed to just sort of cakewalk their way through the World Series.
Yeah.
And they should have. But, you know, sometimes you get divine intervention and somebody puts a lightning bolt in Kurt Gibson's bat. And next thing you know, the Dodgers win that World Series.
Yeah.
And he only played in that home run. A lot of people forget that home run came in the first game. Dodgers still had to go out and win that
thing.
And
win the rest of the series.
And they did. So anyway, 404-741-0929. These guys are doing what they have to do right now, meaning the Braves. 8-4 winners last night over the Marlins. Even up this series. I've said to you, to me, this Marlins team is like what you think of the Cincinnati Reds when they play the Braves.
Yeah, because the first game of the series just got up to a bad start. They got Keuchel and hit a couple of home runs off him early and just, you know, took over in the first game of the series. And like, come on, not against these guys.
See?
But who's the guy that comes in and restores order? Julio Teheran comes in and restores order last night. Goes 7 innings, gives up 1 earned run, strikes out 7. Another fantastic performance by him.
And it ain't even so much of what's going on with this Marlins series. What's got you worked up into a lather is what happened. Who happens next?
Well, what happens next in just this week?
That's what I mean.
It was an interesting week for this baseball team because you had certain series you look forward to. We wanted to see how it would do against the Twins because we knew the Twins, you know, just lead the planet in home runs. Something about their home runs, man.
About that stadium,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but the ball jumps off their bats up there. Yeah. I mean, they really do. The Braves hit home runs.
Cool air.
But it seems like every one they hit is a tape measure shot. It really is, and they're never out of games. They mirror the Braves more than any other team I think they face. They got great starting pitching. They bash the ball. You know, their bullpen, a little suspect, but they're never out of games. You know, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning, as long as they got an at-bat, they got a chance. And that's, to me, it was like two teams that kind of mirrored each other. But I think the Braves got more foot speed. I think we're faster than they are.
Mm-hmm.
But they hit more home runs. So, to me, it was an interesting series. Glad to see the Braves get 2 out of 3. Next week when they come home, and you can't look ahead. You still want to win these games this weekend, but you got a Mets team coming on that's on fire.
That's what I'm saying. You worried about the Mets and the Dodgers
and the Dodgers, rightfully so.
We've
been looking forward to the Dodgers ever since we went out to Los Angeles and got swept. We've been looking forward to those guys coming here. But the Mets now. All of a sudden.
They just have a little taste of something.
This
is like the third quarter in a basketball game. Dude, it's still August. I ain't getting worked up over them in August.
These dudes are on set.
I don't care. Do it next week. Keep it going.
See, 50 years since the Amazings.
And you being from Chicago, why would you want to bring that up? 50 years ago have something to do with something?
Cool, cool. And, you know, all of a sudden, the Cubs just disappeared there in 69.
Start this morning off just kind of like poking at the cage.
I'm just saying.
404-741-0929.
Oh, don't worry about
the Mets.
Who
would you like to see come in and talk to the Georgia Bulldogs? Much like what Nick Saban did this past week with Mike Tyson, we got to thinking about a couple names, and you guys have joined in. Robbie's calling from Southwest Atlanta. Robbie, welcome. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Bobby.
Oh, sorry about
Morning.
That. Morning.
What's up, C?
What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. You know, first of all, when you guys got talking about and you said Ron Gant was the last guy to do 30-30, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, dang, I can't even believe Andre Jones didn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he certainly had the ability.
Right.
But that's about time that they stopped running in baseball. But as I was telling your producer, I'd like to see Tony Dungy come in and talk to the Georgia team.
Okay.
Just from the standpoint of being in Tampa Bay, building that team up, knowing that it has all the talent to win the Super Bowl, it's just going to be a matter of time. Then you get fired. You sit down and watch another coach come in and win a Super Bowl off the team that you built. Then you get another opportunity in Indianapolis, and then you get the job done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tony Dungy has been around the league for a long time. He's well-respected. It would be an interesting just to sit there and listen to all the stuff that he's been through over the last 30, 40 years in the NFL. And being a man of color, there's probably a few more other things that he could teach people and relate to these football players today that they would respect and listen.
That sounds good, Bobby. Moreover, his personal losses, too.
But just the fact that he had to wait so long for his opportunity to be a head coach. I remember hearing for years, oh, yeah, they would talk about people who would be good candidates to be head coaches of football. And you would always hear people, oh, yeah, Tony Dungy. Oh, yeah, Tony Dungy. Oh, yeah, Tony Dungy. And it seemed like it took him so long to get that opportunity. And right, he built the championship team and an incredible defense in Tampa Bay and had to leave it, but still was able to achieve with Indianapolis. And he's got his gold jacket up in Canton, Ohio.
And he gets
and
the
he
credit
had, and he
for
had
that.
Personal loss, too.
That's what I was
going to
say. Let's not gloss over the loss of his kid. But he still gets credit. He gets credit for what happened in Tampa Bay, much like Jimmy Johnson gets credit for that third Cowboys Super Bowl. They ain't going to Barry Switzer. They know who built that team. Anyway, we're going to talk more football next. Hey, Falcons had a game this week, and Matt Schaub showed up, and he heard us talking about that Hall of Fame game. So Sam and I, we're going to go over what happened with Miami up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
And it's off the bag fair. Birdie's got it. Everybody's safe, and a run is in. Smith's going to need a voodoo doll after this game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
bring your umbrellas out when you're coming out, at least if you're in town.
You know what? I look down on down the street down below us, as we always say, we're 9 floors up here in the kids' studios. And Greg was like, is that some moisture I see on the street?
Yeah,
on the pavement?
It rains from time to time. Right.
There's moisture on the street here in Midtown Atlanta, folks. I'm just saying because it's been so
hot.
Why
you say it like that?
Because it's been so hot and dry all week.
We've had rain throughout the week, man.
No, I haven't seen the rain.
Well, that's because you got to get out of Gwinnett County. There's been rain out here on the west side. There was some rain.
I ain't seen a lot of folks. We ain't seen no rain this week.
Well, if you come down to 85, get inside the perimeter.
I'm coming down
85.
I've been inside the perimeter.
You're seeing some right now.
I see it's a little bit here. We'll see.
If you're just joining us, Sam, I, and Ken, or is that how's that for grammar? Decided we would decide who Georgia should bring in as their guest speaker.
Motivational.
Okay, that's a better way to put it, actually.
Motivational.
Thank you. Very good.
Preseason motivational.
There you go. On the heels of Nick Saban this past week bringing Mike Tyson in, who would we like to see come in and speak to the guys? And Ken earlier brought up Tim Tebow, Brian Banks, whose story has been real chronicled, about to come out in a movie. We had a caller call up and mention
Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy, a good one. You want to say who yours is?
Mine is someone who is a Georgia fan, has been to some Georgia games, and the Falcons fans are very familiar with, and people here in town because he went to school at Morehouse, and that's Samuel L. Jackson. And I say Samuel L. Jackson because he would definitely get their attention.
He
would do that. But because his is a story that has had some ups and downs and some battles and struggles, well-documented struggles with addiction, and then having to be patient. And he's this overnight sensation now. He's not to be put his age at it, but he's 70 years old, but he's now at the top of his game. And it took him a while to get there, some determination. And I think that's the kind of person that the message would be well received. They see the person now.
Right.
They know when they see him in all these movies that he shows up in. They know he's rolling now. They see him when someone like the Falcons call him to do the Rise Up Atlanta. You know, he's getting those type of opportunities.
He's at the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
There is no bigger movie star on the planet, and that includes The Rock. And you name that person. Even if they come out of Bollywood over there in India, which, by the way, there's some actors over there who are making some really good money, too.
Mm-hmm.
We just focus on, you know.
What's happening.
And we just focus on our side of the ocean.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's his name who was The Rock, the TV show? Not like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. The TV show, ROC, that actor.
Dutton.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
lost his jobs, Samuel L. Jackson, to
Charles S. Dutton.
Charles S. Dutton,
mm-hmm.
when they were both coming up at the same time,
yeah.
because of his drug addiction.
Yeah, and I think Dutton has been had incarceration. I think he was a
well early on. Those two were vying for a number of jobs, and Charles got them.
Yeah,
and Samuel L. Jackson was out in the alley someplace, or you know he'd do some, or he was his backup. He was his stand-in. He has talked about this. But yes, that's a good one. You know, coming over some.
And he's been at Georgia games because I think he had a sister.
And,
I think he was in grad school, so he's been at some. He's shown up at a number of Georgia games, so we've seen him in Athens quite a bit.
No problem. The fact that he's not an athlete.
No, okay. No. I think as someone who's inspirational, I think you respect him. You see where he's at. Someone who's at the top.
All right.
Yeah, and has had to go through the valley and all those type things and had to overcome.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. First week of real preseason football, and as we talk about the Falcons, let's start with the takeaways because I don't really want to dissect much of this game because, A, we didn't see a lot of the starters, and, B, we know that this is a process. But there were some things to look at, much like the coaches. I wanted to focus on Ito Smith. See what was going on with the running game. Because you know what? When I think of Devontae Freeman, and I've said this to you before, he might be back, he might be healthy, but this dude runs like Derrick Rose played basketball when he was in his prime.
Yeah.
It's just dangerous. And it's weird to say when you're talking about football, right? But he just runs. He runs so, even for running backs, so aggressively and
yeah.
stopping and popping and moving. And I mean, the cuts are different than this is not like Barry Sanders like or somebody who had that finesse kind of, you know, quick turns and quick movements. His just seems very violent. And that on those knees worries me as a fan.
And that's just how he runs. You know, that's the thing about it. That's not going to go away. It's not going to change. That's the thing you like about him. That's the thing you love about him. and the versatility he gives your offense, the fact that he can break outside, you can dump something, dump a short pass to him out in space.
All of that,
he's going to make people miss. He's our answer to what New Orleans has with Alvin Kamara. It's exactly what he is, a guy
a little bit smaller, but
he can do those same type things.
But understood, and see, maybe that's the reason why, because he is a little bit smaller. You know, Kamara's girth is spread out more, all right? But I going into this game against Miami, we want to look at Brian Hill, and again, for Ito Smith, for me. I was pleasantly surprised by some of the other stuff I saw, but that was what I was focusing on going into this game. How about you?
I was watching to see if the line would be better, and then, you know, we saw a better performance from Matt Schaub because he had some.
You heard some folks talking about.
Well, he had some better linemen in front of him. You know, I'd say that. You know, this week the competition did ramp up. You did see more guys who are going to be first stringers and second stringers getting some time, and I guess that'll progress a little bit more next week as well. So you saw some things differently. The pass blocking was better. The run blocking had its moments. But enough for us to see the running backs show what they could do that we wanted to see. And one that also we talk about is Kenjon Barner. And he's the one that got the run that got it down we thought was going to be a touchdown.
Going to be a touchdown.
And didn't, but Hill ends up finishing that drive. So you saw some running backs take advantage of their opportunities to show. We saw all the three running backs we were watching all finish with short touchdown runs inside the five. And that's always a problem.
How did you feel about red zone offense? Because there was a couple times it was like, and again, you can't hang your hat on what you're seeing
right now.
Well,
no, not preseason.
But this is something that you leaves a nasty taste in your mouth when it comes to this team. When you talk about red zone offense, and you know, it just does. It was it was just something like you said. It was bittersweet. I guess that was the phrase I was looking for.
Well, that's the thing I want to see.
It was bittersweet.
Yeah, that's the thing I want to see from this team anyway. Is finishing drives. And like the first drive, instead of getting three, get six.
Yep.
And we saw Quadri Allison come in and finish a drive with a touchdown, short touchdown, late in the game. We want to see what he gives us. And he runs the way I think we want to see the guy that size run. He's like a downhill kind of runner. So we got a chance to see a bit of that from him. So that was a good thing as well.
On the defensive side of the ball, I saw two sacks by Larkin. They only gave him one.
Okay.
Austin Larkin had a big game. Six tackles, six solo tackles. Again, they gave him one sack. I looked like he had two to me. That was a positive.
I like what I saw from Kendall Sheffield.
I saw KZ, too, is the other one. But you see him all the time anyway.
You see him all the time.
It's just like where the ball is, wherever he stops, he's either making the hit or he's about to hit somebody.
And he showed us that last year during the preseason games. He was a guy that was out there just hitting everything that moved. So Sheffield showed some stuff. We know he's supposed to have that speed. He's a track guy, covers. I saw him make some nice plays defensively. So he kind of stood out some for me in the game.
Hey, speaking of running backs, Sam and Greg Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Did you see that kid on Cleveland and his story?
How about that?
I want to get this right here. And if you don't know this story, you need to Google it and listen to it. But, you know, we talk about in basketball, rebounding is want to. You can't just, you know, you don't become a household name by being a rebounder most of the time, especially on the playground. You gotta want to get that rebound and work hard. Dennis Rodman's the exception to the rule. But akin to that in football is that guy who knows he's got the skills, he knows he's got the talent, he knows that if he's just given an opportunity, he can prevail. And I want to get his name right. It's Damon Sheehy Giuseppe.
Yep.
Love that last part.
Yeah.
Giuseppe. He went through you-know-what and back to get a tryout with the Browns. Talked his way on, did all kinds of stuff. Had about 18 cents in his pocket, figuratively speaking. Slept wherever he could, indoors and outdoors.
Right.
During that time. And got his opportunity. And when the Browns played the other night, ran back a touchdown. Again, Damon Sheehy Giuseppe. Google his name.
The reaction afterwards is priceless. Because we always talk about, you know, touchdown celebrations or how players react and what's allowed by the league and what's not allowed by the league and whatnot. And this was something where everybody in that locker room, everybody on that sideline
knew his story.
And so the whole team goes to the end zone and jump all over him. So it was pretty amazing to see.
404-741-0929 is the number if you want to join the conversation. Mike is in Peachtree City. Mike, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I'm about to go to work. Thanks for taking my call so quick.
Thank you.
Hey, we have a good problem. We have five good running backs. We got Devontae, we got Ito Smith, we got Quadri Allison, Kenyon Barner, and then Brian Hill. I mean, what are the chances of us rostering five running backs? I know usually three or four is NFL protocol, and you know, I don't want to see any of these guys go. Really, I don't want to see any go to the practice squad. And I know five running backs is a lot with Curtis and other places. What's the chances of us having five running backs on the roster?
Yeah,
slim. And I appreciate your call here.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's going to be slim. I mean, and it will come down to who can, you know, can go and do some stuff on special teams.
Well, I mean, they're talking about Quadri right now joining Ito Smith and Devontae as the three they keep. We'll see what happens. Obviously, they're going to keep these other two guys on there and see what happens. They're going to work. We're going to see a lot more of them because of what we talked about a minute ago and how Devontae runs. He's back. He's healthy. You hear all kinds of positive things. But again, this guy runs in a way that, I mean, the next play, not from injury, just the way he pops them knees, man, that could be it.
Yeah.
So we're going to see what happens. But no, I think three is the limit as far as how many they're going to keep.
All right.
What do we got up next, man?
Coming up next, we're going to talk to a coach whose team is going to make some history, some local history, during the Corky Kale Classic.
Oh, more Corky Kale. I can't wait.
It's our countdown to Corky this time. We're going to focus on Tucker High School. And Coach Brian Lamar joins us next on this game day Saturday morning on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, just looking up on the screen, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'll get to the casting call and talk about Wesley Snipes joining Coming to America 2, or Coming to America, get it? With the number 2.
We're just coming to Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be here in other places, too. And the other people that have joined the thing. This is why you can't, I'm going to tell you why coming up here in a little bit, why you can't believe everything you read on the internet. They posted a salary of somebody who we love. Near and dear to our hearts are the Braves, and it couldn't be more wrong. Unless he had a DeLorean back in the day, popped into the future, got a Mike Trout contract, and went back. Something's got to be done here. Bring our guest out here, and this man is getting ready for what is going to be an exciting next few weeks.
It's exciting few weeks, an exciting experience. Of course, I count down to Corky Kale because Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is the home of the Metro PCS Corky Kale Kickoff Classic. And we're going to have games in Rome. We're going to have games at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're also going to have games for the very first time at Cool-Ray Field up in Gwinnett County. And joining us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline is the man who will have his team play in the first football game ever played at Cool Ray, Coach Brian Lamar from Tucker High School. Coach Lamar, good morning to you.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
How does that feel to know that you're going to go and play a football game at a place where a football game hadn't been played before?
Just an exciting time, man. It's just getting out of the year, starting the season off with a great opponent and a great venue. Yeah, it's just exciting.
You were up there this week, and of course, you know, it's baseball, so it's going to be set up still for baseball. We're going to play football on it. It's something that we used to see, a lot of those of us who are old enough to remember.
We still see it right now in Oakland.
Well, in Oakland, that's about the only place. But your players are going to get a chance to play on a surface where it's going to have some of the infield there, you know, along with the grass. Have you talked with them about it? Have you shown them pictures of what used to be, or how are y'all approaching that?
I haven't really talked to them about it in terms of the feel. We're going to get there a little bit early so they'll be able to walk around and get a feel for it. But you know, at the end of the day, both teams are going to have to play under the same conditions. So we're going to go out there and we're going to see if we can get a win.
Coach, you guys are coming off a season. I'm sure you would have liked to have seen it turn out better. So you kind of erased that. And as you head into this first game before Corky Kale, you guys are going up against Marietta. What are you looking for on this team and how you like the way you guys have been practicing so far?
I'm practicing all right. You know, I'm probably like every other coach in the state. We have some good days and some bad days and do some good things and then some bad things. And you never know until you get onto that field and against another opponent. We scrimmaged ourselves yesterday and got tons of plays in. So we'll be breaking down that film throughout the day as a staff, and we'll meet tomorrow and kind of go through it. But I think we got a good group. We're still junior heavy and got a couple of sophomores as well. Got a decent senior class. So it's still a lot of unknown. I think we got some good players, but they're very inexperienced. So it's going to be interesting how we play the first few games of the season. Once we get past those first few games, I think we're going to be in really good shape. And by the time we get to the playoffs, I think we'll have a chance to compete for it. But those first few games, you know, it can go either way. We're playing really good teams, which probably going to be going through some of the same experiences that we go through. And so it's going to be a really tight game. It's going to be about who makes the least amount of mistakes and who's able to capitalize when teams make mistakes. So that's what it's going to come down to.
Our Tucker head coach, Brian Lamar, Jordan Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929thegame.com. Do you have a preference starting off a season on the road or at home? I know everybody wants to play home, but some coaches have said they get to see certain aspects of the team more when they're on the road. These, like you said, these first few games, you guys are going to eat home cooking till game three or after game three.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it really matters. I mean, of course, everybody likes to play at home. I think with us, you know, we played in Corkakill the last few years, which has been great. So not getting a home game. And then, you know, we always try to play a tough opponent on the road. And so we got Grayson this year. The previous 2 years we had Colquitt. So, you know, putting our kids in some tough situations. Our region isn't super tough. And so it's very important for us, non-region, to play extremely competitive teams so that we have a feel for what the rest of the state is like headed into the playoffs.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Coach Brian Lamar, head coach at Tucker High School. And, Coach, you mentioned all those things. You talked about how you got a lot of youth on your team. You got some guys with inexperience. And you, like most coaches right now, he's not going to tell us a whole lot, Greg. He's going to hold back on a lot of that. But here's the thing. Their expectations for Tucker. You mentioned shaping things up to get into the playoffs. You expect to be in the playoffs, but people expect a lot from Tucker when you show up. When you get off the bus, you know you're going to get the best from people. I don't know how much you talk about that or how much your players are aware of that, because that's the case. People are always talking about Tucker and what you guys have.
There's no doubt about it. And I talked about it yesterday at the end of practice, and it's something that we try to teach these guys every single day. And kids are just different, so just trying to get them to embrace that challenge. No one's going to ever overlook us. We're not going to sneak into the back door on somebody and get an upset. You know, people expect our A game, and so they're always going to be ready to play. It's good. You know, it's good because wherever we go, it's normally a good crowd. It's a good showing. People, you know, people want to see what we got. And, you know, some people show up to see us win. Some people show up to see us lose. At the end of the day, people show up. And, you know, I tell our kids, we got to be able to compete. You got to be able to compete at a high level, and you got to practice that way. And you got to practice hard every single day to get the kind of growth that we need as a team. And you can't afford to not be on your A game at practice. I mean, practice is going to be, you know, the way you practice is going to be the way you play. And if you come out and you attack practice every day and you get better every day, then you're going to be prepared for any situation. And at least you're going to have put yourself in the best situation possible no matter what you go up against. And so that's what we're trying to work on, is having great practice habits every single day, and knowing that you left no stone unturned and so that you prepare.
Tucker Tigers will open the regular season in the Corkakill Kickoff Classic. They're going to be playing up at Cool Ray Field in Gwinnett County. They're going to take on Archer at 5:30 in that game. But before that, you guys are going to take on Marietta.
And a road game.
Talk a little bit about taking them on, because they got a passing and catching combination that may be one of the best in the state. Thoughts about how you guys are going to approach taking that team on.
Well, we're going to show up and we're going to play. I mean, they got good players, really good quarterback, got good skill positions. Not just, you know, the one receiver. They got several, and you know, they had a year last year. They probably would like to, you know, improve off of, you know, with injuries and things of that nature as well. So get to go. You know, they just got their field redone. You know, Marietta still, you know, it's kind of like Tucker. It's got a small town feel, and so we're going to go down and go in downtown Marietta and go down there and try to get a win. One of our strengths is actually our pass defense. I think we do a really good job with that. We've got to improve in our run game for sure. So it's going to be a good challenge. You know, I think we've got a good secondary. We got two senior corners. I think, you know, are going to, you know, signed, you know, Division I scholarships, and we got some secondary, some safeties that I think are going to be pretty good. They're all juniors. So it's going to be very interesting to see how we mix up. Defensively, I would think one of our strengths is playing against the pass. But you never know how you stack up against elite talent until you go out there and you play.
Yep, so that's coming up next Friday up at Northcutt Stadium. It's just a great, great place of, you go and play in that place. It's amazing the way they preserve that stadium and the traditions out there. So enjoy that.
Right next to a cemetery.
We'll see that.
It is. Right next to a cemetery. I drive down that road every day.
But it's a remarkable stadium. It's incredible what they've done to it. So players are going to enjoy that experience, Coach. And then we look forward to another experience up the road with you with the Corky Kell Classic on the 23rd against Archer.
Good luck to you, Coach.
Thank you so much. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. That is Coach Brian Lamar, head football coach at Tucker High School.
Right next to a cemetery. They need to move that thing.
They can't move that stadium, man. They never moved Northcutt.
But
you know what, though? That's an amazing stadium.
Yeah, it might be, but it's next to a cemetery.
Yeah. Well,
folks got the heebie-jeebies about going in there, walking out there at night.
You know who else got a stadium next to it? You know who else got a cemetery next to their stadium?
Who's that?
Clemson. So it ain't helping. It ain't hurt them too
much. They wear Halloween colors, though, for the most part.
see.
So they get around that. Hey, we're talking about coming to America and some other stuff that's happening around Atlanta. A chance at some jobs. Stick around. Cassie call up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.